Thank you, Lord. Just thank you for your day. Thank you for this beautiful weather. Lord, just let us enjoy it when we're out there, Lord, just in your glory, in your glorious nature. Lord, we just pray that that we can hear your words here today, Lord, that you guide us and encourage us and just love us on us continuously. We want to hear from you. We pray for those who aren't here and traveling mercies upon them, and those who are not feeling well, healing hand upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. So a little recap in last week. Jesse, I'll have you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 4.
But know this, that in the last days of perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
It's quite a list. Quite a fancy list. Now, Paul, what he's describing people of the world, right? He's describing people of the world and how they're going to act during the last days. Kind of sounds like a weather forecaster in Arizona saying, oh, there's an 80% chance for sunshine. You know, nothing has to happen. This isn't like, oh, well, this is how it's going to be later, everybody else is really good right now. But no, nothing needs to happen. People are already been this way for a long time. Now, you could argue for sure that people, there's the percentage of people being worse is getting bigger. And you could kind of say that with the internet, it's kind of harder to hide secrets. At least that's what it seems like to me. It's like the last couple years, you can really see or know about the evil people do. And that seems like they don't get in trouble for it. And that's the frustrating part, is that they just keep on doing evil and they just keep you doing evil. Also, you see people being straight up against God. You know, they're not ashamed of it. They're not scared about doing it. They just feel open about going against God. You know, people with money and fame doing unspeakable evil. And yet, you know, there's no recourse. You know, it kind of shows me, and hopefully gives a little light to you guys as far as that, you know, making money or having money doesn't mean that they're always happy. That's not a means to happiness. This is how the unbeliever acts, or how the world tells people to act. It's all about self. You know, the truth is whatever I feel like it is. You know, oh, I believe this, so that's the truth to me. Or that's the truth to somebody else. Their purpose is just to make themselves happy. It doesn't matter about anybody else. The only thing what matters is how it affects me. So that's the worldview. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10 and 11... Stephen.
But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at
Antioch.
Antioch and
Iconium.
Lystra. And out of them all,
So the New King James Version says, but you. The New International Version, I kind of like it a little better, version a little bit better in here as far as it says, you, however. So the point is, there should be a contrast between the world and a Christian's view, right? So you, however, should be different than that list that we just read earlier. We should have a different list. Paul wants us to be carefully staying right on the path, being aware of where we step. You know, not playing too close to the edge, because that's the danger zone, right? Because you might fall. Following his doctrine, his teaching, are his truths. Paul's doctrine did not change. And the reason for that is because the gospel of Jesus never changes. Never changes. So Paul's doctrine didn't change. It was the same doctrine. Paul wants Timothy to think about where he's getting his truths, or where does he come up with his truths. You know, do we act what's only right in our eyes, or do we believe in a bigger picture of the truth? You know, is it based on feelings? Or is there facts? Do we identify as something without truth backing it up? You know, where are our truths? Or what is our truths? Where do we know our truth from? Then he goes on to the manner of life, our Paul's conduct. We may know the truth forward and backwards. There's people that know, I know people that memorize whole chapters in the Bible. But if our conduct, if we conduct ourselves not in that truth, it doesn't mean anything. It means you have a good memory, but it doesn't mean that you're following Jesus. Believing in Jesus is very, very important. However, there could be a big difference between believing in actually following. If you believe yet you do not follow, you are just as lost as somebody who's never believed. Your actions cannot save us, and it won't save us. Yet our actions show who we are. Our purpose in life. Paul had a purpose. And it's not because some odd billion years ago there was a big bang and then we accidentally crawled out of the ocean. No, God had a plan for each and every one of us. He wants fellowship with us. He chose us before we were even born. He chose us to have a plan for us. Paul's purpose, just like every other Christian, is to glorify God. Paul was other-centered, not self-centered. He cared about Jesus. He cared about others. He cared more about them than his own comfort. You know, sure, he could have probably made it something more comfortable for himself, but he cared about others. Our faith. Faith is the opposite of doubt. Paul's faith did not waver. It didn't come from to and fro. If the wind blew, it did not change. Paul had mountaintop highs in deep valley lows. During those low times is when our faith is tested. If you ever want to know what your level of faith is, you know, pay attention to how we act during a crisis. Paul's faith was rock solid. Because we could look at this and know this because we need to remember that where Paul was writing this letter from. It was from a prison, a dark, dim, wet, damp prison. And this could have been days before his execution. Because we know he was executed this last time he was in prison. In Matthew 17:20, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And it's Jesus talking on faith. Now, I've always felt that some people misunderstand this verse. I've heard people say, oh, the mustard seed is just the smallest seed. So if we had a little bit of faith, if we only had a faith that measures up to a mustard seed, that we could move mountains. However, I feel like in this verse, Jesus is complaining that they only had a little bit of faith. So it doesn't make sense. There's a contradiction there. But what I think he's talking about is the mustard seed is the smallest seed. It's a very tiny seed, but it grows into this huge tree. Now, this seed grows not because it has a little bit of faith. It grows into a huge tree because it has 100% faith. You know, the world might say, oh, it's too small. The world is too hard. It's too dry. It can't make it. There's no chance for it to grow. The mustard seed does not care what the world says. It could care less. It's going to grow or it's going to die trying. You know, there's no halfway. There's no doubt in a mustard seed. This is its purpose, and that's what it's going to do. Long-suffering or patience. You know, there was a time I thought, you know what, I should ask God for more patience. But I didn't want to wait for it. Is this thing on? I didn't want to wait for patience. That's my best joke. Sorry. Nothing. Still nothing. Not even. Barely a smile. Thank you. That was a pity smile. Sorry. So we see time and time again, Paul takes his time to help others. Even saying the same thing again and again. You know, he doesn't count it as a waste of time. He suffers long in order to help others. You know, there'd be a lot of people would feel like, oh, I'm just tired. Paul never got tired. Love, without love of Jesus, without love for others, Paul probably wouldn't have done as much traveling. Unless it was vacation, you know, going to the Colosseum, catch a game or something. He'd probably be sitting in at home, making tents, just caring about himself. But no, he had love for others. Perseverance. Every town Paul entered, he did the same thing. He found out where people were meeting, and he went to introduce Jesus to them. It didn't matter if they hated him for that. It didn't matter if they tried to kill him, if they kicked him out of town. The next town, Paul would do the exact same thing. Paul's feet were firmly planted, and his doctrine was not going to change no matter what. And it wouldn't change to make things easier for him. Paul was who he was. Persecution and afflictions. Paul had more than his fair share of persecution. And Timothy was traveling with him for a lot of that, so he would have accompanied those persecution. Antioch, Paul was forced out of town, ran out of town. Iconium, he was threatened to a death sentence. They said they were going to kill him, but then they forced him out of town. In Lystra, they actually started throwing rocks. And they tried and thought they killed Paul, leaving him for dead on the side of the road. You know, some might think, oh, well, Paul, he must have been really tough. He was a tough guy to endure those persecutions. But according to Paul, it wasn't on his strength. Paul endured those persecutions because Jesus was there with him. And Jesus was the one who delivered him through the troubles. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Jesse?
Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution.
That sounds like an awesome bumper sticker, right? Come, become a Christian. You'll get persecuted. The world doesn't like or know what to do because Christians don't think the same way as others do. So the world hates. I know it doesn't really make sense. It's like, well, why? Christians are just trying to help others. But to those who believe, Jesus smells sweet. He smells really sweet. But those who do not believe, to them, Jesus smells like death. You know, I don't know if it's just a reminder or a fear of what is going to come. But to those who don't believe, it's just a really bad smell. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 13 and 14, Stephen.
But evil men and imposters will rule over words, deceiving and being deceived, but yet must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of knowing from whom you have learned.
So the fact that evil men and imposters grow worse and worse, this is told to us not to disencourage us, but it's so we could avoid their traps. So we could follow Jesus a little bit closer, because we know that there's dangers out there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. In that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So Timothy grew up. He grew up, his dad was Gentile, but his mom and grandmother, they believed in God. So they probably would have had a Jewish background. They did believe in Jesus. I don't know exactly when. Probably a little bit before Timothy did. But since childhood, they taught Timothy the Holy Scriptures. You know, and that is awesome. It is awesome to have that testimony that you know and you believe since a really young age, and know that that's a powerful testimony. But it's also a powerful testimony to hear of somebody who hadn't had that, who grew up without Jesus and knew he needed to have more. We look at another person from the Bible. Luke was a Gentile. He was born Gentile. It doesn't say that from a young age he knew Jesus, but so he more than likely did not grow up knowing about God. But it wasn't too late for Luke. Jesus met him with open arms. It's never too late to come to Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, Jesse. So whenever you start learning the Bible from a young age or not a young age, it's important to know the Holy Scriptures. Not because man wrote it down or that Paul wrote some things down. It's because it's the Word of God. The New International used the term God-breathed for inspired. You know, meaning that he actually literally put the words into other people's mouths. God told people what to write down. The Bible is a collection of 66 different books. There is 40 different authors. It is written over a time span of 1,600 years. Yet it all fits together. You know, it's just amazing in itself how the Bible came together. Now, we can get saved without reading the Bible, without ever knowing anything from the Bible. However, on our walk with the Lord and staying on the right path, it is really nice to have the Bible in your back pocket. Now, I'm in construction. I'm an electrician. And if we go off and decide to set or build a building and we don't have a set of plans, right? Every trade is going to do their thing. You know, what's right in their mind. Guaranteed, there's going to be places in that building that are messed up. There's going to be fights. There's going to be trouble. The Bible is our set of plans. It will help us to know right from wrong, how to talk and help others, how to avoid and watch out for things, to help us in our fellowship with Jesus, and to train us for every good work. Now, Timothy, like I already said, Timothy traveled with Paul. There was a period, right now he's not, but there was a period where he traveled with Paul. He was a firsthand witness to see Paul in action. Now, you know that Timothy got it. You got what Paul was talking about. But that doesn't mean 2,000 years later that we cannot profit from those same lessons. Because it was a sound doctrine. Because it is about the truth of Jesus. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Miss Come Lately.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That threw me off.
So there's a difference between the worldviews and Christian views. And let's keep that in mind as we go out today. Michelle, can you close us in prayer?